I do remark that I know a bit about, again, that I don't know anything about.
And the Village are the All-Ireland champion, 19 points to 14. Who said they couldn't win it?
You're very welcome along to this week's episode of the James Stevens Podcast. Coming up, we'll look back on the Village minor team's campaign so far to date as we speak to manager Joe Murray. We'll also get the lowdown on how the senior Camogie team fared. They were in action against Piltown in the league semi-final. Later in the episode, we'll take a trip down to Glen Rovers in Cork to hear how our Village men did in the under-10 Brendan Walsh tournament. And lastly, we'll return to our interview with Georgie Lahey as the Village legend was in conversation with Barry Enriquez back in 2015. James Stevens booked to return to the Kilkenny Minor Ryan A hurling final on Sunday, beating O'Loughlin's on a scoreline of 6-18 to 13 points in MW Higher Dunmore. An impressive showing from Joe Murray's team saw them lead 2-12 to 9 points at half-time, which was followed by a pitch-perfect second half where the Village men outscored O'Loughlin's 4-6 to 4 points, meaning the city side will head to a decider with Dunamagan in good stead in just over a week's time. Ed and Bill McDermott were to the fore for the Village men, scoring 4-7 and 1-6 respectively, as their sharp forward play and decisiveness proved deadly on the afternoon. The Village didn't have it all their own way though, and were forced into a 3-1 deficit by the 5th minute, Greg Kelly and Rourke Sweeney the scores. However, O'Loughlin Gael's lead was soon wiped out, with points from Ed and Bill McDermott, and a goal shortly afterwards from Ed, just squeezing past the O'Loughlin Gael's goalkeeper Dan McCormack, meant the game had swung in favour of the Village, at 1-3 to 3 points at that juncture. Ed and Bill McDermott kept the James Stevens scoreline ticking as the half developed, but to their credit, O'Loughlin Gales failed to wilt, with Greg Kelly and Rourke Sweeney keeping them in touch. Ed continued to be a nuisance for O'Loughlin's and put the Village in a commanding position as half-time loomed, opening up a 2-11 to 8-point advantage. Two frees courtesy of Rourke Sweeney and Ed McDermott left the scoreline at 2-12 to 9 points at the break, as the Village supporters watched on with glee. The second half proved to be a grisly affair for O'Loughlin's, their stylish hurlers who had shown much promise in earlier rounds, unable to cope with the sheer James Stevens dominance. The opening 8 minutes of the second half failed to deliver a score though, and it took a sharp ball from Zach Scanlon who opened up an opportunity for Ed McDermott to find his hat-trick goal and begin a golden patch for the men in red and green. Greg Kelly was a green shoot for O'Loughlin Gales during this period, leading his teammates as they continue to put in a gallant effort. Kelly did find the target, and alongside a point from Keane Byrne, it did give the O'Loughlin Gales faithful something to shout about. But it was to be the Village's day. Further goals from Alan Larkin, who came on as a sub, Bill McDermott, and Edward his fourth, gave James Stevens a pep in their step, leaving MW Higher Dunmore. Meanwhile, a spread of scores from the winners, including Ed Lahoff and Dermot Behan, will no doubt please Joe Murray ahead of the final showdown against Dunamagan. James Stevens deserving winners in MW Higher Dunmore, winning on a scoreline of 6-18 to 13 points. A great day out for the Village, but they'll be only too aware that a final day with Dunamagan will be far from easy. Let's hear the thoughts of manager Joe Murray.
This was the result we were after. We know how to progress and obviously get to a final, and look, that's what we achieved. Look, we had a bit to spare, I suppose, which was surprising. But look, no matter what way the win came, that's all we were interested in, was the win, move forward to a final, and that's where we find ourselves now.
And to state the absolute obvious, goals were king on the day.
Yeah, look, in underage games, I think in particular, goals do swing matches, you know, and maybe chaps of that age drop the heads maybe quicker than maybe lads of that old hurling. But we got six of them. We probably could have got a few more, but to be fair, O'Loughlin's goalkeeper, I know it sounds strange, we've scored six goals. He was probably man of the match, you know. He made some outstanding saves in the goal. So it was funny from that point of view. We still scored enough, though, to get over the line.
And even from an O'Loughlin's point of view, the scoreline was heavy in the end, but in the opening 10 minutes, it was all to play for.
Yeah, look, we knew they'd come at us, and they did. And, I mean, 10, 15 minutes into the game, there was nothing in it. We might have been down, I think, at one stage. But those goals, like, that we spoke, we eventually threatened a few times, and eventually one hit the net, and... I suppose the floodgates opened a little bit from there. But look, a game can, a goal like that, like I say, on the turn of a goal, like there's no way O'Loughlin's are as poor as that result suggests, and there's no way we're as good as maybe that result suggests either. So, you know, we just have to take it. It's a semi-final. There for winning. We're in the final now, and that's all we can look at.
It's a journey, and I mean, you don't win a championship based on one game, but you must be very pleased with the development right throughout the championship.
Yeah, look, we said to the lads they'd have to improve at each stage, and so far they have. But look, we have a great group of players. I mean, we've had, there was 7 of them, I think, in on a county minor panel, and another 5 or 6 in with an under-16 development squad. I mean, the hurlers are there. But, I mean, they were there last year too, and we fell short, and the lads are well aware that if they don't hurl to their optimum, they could fall short again, you know. So, yeah, it's one step at a time, and there's one left.
We talked about the scoring power at the top, and that's been a trend throughout the campaign for James Stephens, and there's one-offs in every competition, but when you start to see high scores being put up game after game, it gives the impression that there's a strong spine to that squad, and there's some really good players in there.
Yeah, no, there certainly is. Like I said, the 7 guys that were in with the minor panel just happened to be our spine. I only actually realised that myself yesterday evening when I was sitting down looking at it. It's not by design, it's just the way it has turned out. And yeah, we are strong. But to be fair to the lads, there's a few guys, say, playing out on the wings and whatnot that mightn't have been mentioned at the start of the year as being starters. And I suppose it's their development which is even more pleasing. Like, there's a couple of guys there have nailed down positions. And are hurling fierce well, and there would be one, you know, probably lesser known names, if you like. And look, they're needed too, as much as the big guns have to fire. You know, it's 15 lads, and it's actually 20 lads really when it gets to this stage of the championship. And we brought on our 5 subs the other day, not because we could, but because we have to, you know, keep lads on their toes as well. And the 5 lads who came in, I'm sure they're at home thinking they should be starting, you know. So look, it's great. It's what a group of selectors want, and that's what we have, you know.
You often hear in other sports they have the endless debate about the competition for spots on a team and whether it's a good or a bad thing. I think from a village point of view, the fact that that bench looks so strong, it makes the starting 15 think, if I don't perform, I'll be taken off. So that's got to be healthy.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And I mean, we have a B squad who are in you know, our B team are in a B Shield final, you know, so there's another 15, 18 guys that have hurled well this year, and are, you know, I'm sure there's a few guys there that think they should be higher up the pecking order as well. And look, that's what you want. Look, ultimately, we can only pick 15 and a few lads to come on. Unfortunately, that's part of our job. We disappoint chaps at that age. But you just hope that they'll take it in the right way, move on, and come back stronger. That's the game, you know. And unfortunately, they have to learn that young rather than when they're older.
It's a long year, Joe, between training and matches, but the business end, if you like, kind of comes hot and heavy. This 2-week gap kind of feels like the first breather. It felt like week after week. When it gets to that stage of the championship, does it almost become easy to manage in one sense because every game feels so big?
Yeah, well, like when it's game after game, I suppose that's an ideal scenario for players. You know, that's all a player wants, is to move from match to match. Probably less so for a management team. We'd like to maybe work on one or two things here and there, and time doesn't allow us. But maybe in a way, that's a good thing. You don't want to complicate matters either. I mean, it's a simple enough game at the end of it. We do have a 2-week break now, but I suppose you'd be conscious that they've come through a heavy enough schedule, and it's hard to do too much, particularly this week. We'd probably ramp it up the weekend and do a little bit, but then you're on a down week again, you're into a final. So yeah, it's matches is all the players want. We're somewhere in between, but look, the match will come quick enough too Saturday week, so we'll all be happy.
It was league semi-final day for the James Stephens Camogie team on Saturday evening. They took on Piltown in Daynesfort. There for us was Brian Lahey.
Our senior girls were up against Piltown on Saturday afternoon contesting the league semi-final in Daynesfort. While missing a number of girls due to injury and sickness, the girls were up against one of the strong favourites for this year's county championship. It was evidence from the off that Piltown were firing on all cylinders, as their speed of thought and movement had the girls on the back foot, and while the early points were shared, once the first goal went in for Piltown, they started to dominate proceedings, leading at half time by 2-11 to 4 points. While the girls battled bravely and never gave up, it was a bridge too far, and must recognise the gulf in class to some of the top teams in the senior grade as Piltown ran out easy winners. It was a great achievement to make the semi-finals and cement their senior status for next year, it being the first year at this level and was the main objective at the start of the year. It means they don't have to negotiate a first round match, and it's now back to the training pitch for 3 weeks before the quarter-finals.
There was plenty of excitement in the club over the weekend amongst our under 10 hurlers. They headed for Glen Rovers in Cork for the Brendan Walsh tournament. With all the details, I caught up earlier with mentor Nicholas Downey.
We had a great day down in Cork. Fair play to Glen Rovers. They put on a great tournament. Didn't look like it was going to go ahead on Friday evening or after Friday's rain, but the place was in great nick when we got down there. Yeah, they'd invited five teams down. Mount Sion pulled out at the last minute. So there was James Stevens, and then there was three Cork teams, the Aaron Dorn, Black Rock, and Glen Rovers themselves. And they'd also invited a hand down from Limerick. So, we had to play each of the other four teams in the league kind of basis. And, luckily enough, we came out on top, and the top two then played each other. So we ended up playing Black Rock in the final. And the lads really got into the groove in the. It was a tight first half, but they really got going in the second half, and deserved winners in the end. Now I have to say to our guys.
And although it's under 10 hurling and they're very much at a developmental stage, the pedigree of teams on offer, it must have been very exciting for the lads.
The nice thing about the competition down in Glen Rovers was there was a cup and a shield. So in total, James Stevens, we took down about 30 players. So we were split into two squads of 15. So James Stevens Green competed in the Cup and James Stevens Red competed in the Shield. With the James Stevens Red team, they just lost out on points difference for the final of the Shield, while the James Stevens Green actually won the competition outright. There were good competitive matches. Like there was no massacres or no big scores put up. They were all very tight games. And I said even for the Shield team, like they lost out by a point on goal difference in the very end after four matches. So there was really nothing in both competitions.
And it's a long enough journey up and down to Cork. I can only imagine the lads were really, really pleased coming home with the cup under their arms.
Well, I think the McDonald's in Fermoy probably helped on the way home, but. No, to be fair, an hour and three quarters down. They were probably a bit slow to start in the first match against Black Rock. They were a little bit slow to start, but they got going then in the end and they gave a great account to themselves. And to come away from a place like Glen Rovers, I know they got relegated on Saturday evening after we left in the seniors, but it meant a lot to ourselves in the club and myself and a lot of the coaches. I wouldn't mind naming them if it's all right. Like Adrian McGuinness and Owen Mullally, Anthony O'Keefe, there's Paddy O'Neill, Brian Meredith, Derek Walsh and Alan Egan. Like we've had these guys since they were under five. So it's, to go down that far and see what the lads are made of, it was great for us as coaches to see them develop like that.
Tournament hurling, it's difficult for the best of teams. I mean, they can be long old slogs. Was there any trouble in that department, just managing maybe the gaps between matches?
Well, to be fair, it was an 11-a-side tournament and you had 15 on each team. So you had a good squad. You had four subs. So like all good clubs, we decided we were going to give equal playing time. So everybody got their time on and everybody took their turns on the bench. So, to be fair, we explained to the young lads before the matches the way it went. And when they were getting tired, they were glad to come off and they didn't mind being. They knew that when they're substituting, they know they're going on, there's never any hassle. It's worse if they're left sitting on the bench or somebody doesn't bring them on. Whereas if they know they're brought on at half time and four other guys are going to be brought off, it makes a massive difference for the child's confidence.
And the thing is as well, there's a competitive nature to it, but there's also a fun element to it. And at under 10s hurling, it's all about enjoying the game as well.
That's exactly it. And even just seeing, you know, they're used to seeing the Dixborough jerseys and the Ballycallan jerseys. But even when the guys see, you know, different jerseys from a different county, it makes a massive difference for them. And it does bring enjoyment for them. They were revved up before the match even started, or before the tournament started. You know, they're in a different environment, different pitches. You know, it's nice. And the Glen Rovers guys were lovely with the lads found the Cork accent, a bit of a struggle at the start to get to grips with. But no, it was a lovely, and there was food for them in the clubhouse down there at half time and during the competition. And yeah, really well done, really well done. And the competition was run in a fair manner that everybody was given their crack at it. So, No, I couldn't praise them highly enough for it.
No doubt at that age, they're mad for games. What stage of the season are they at now? And I'm sure that they were back training during the week as well. How's that picture looking?
Under 10, it's a little bit harder to get games because most of the groups are done in odd years, so it's under 9, under 11, under 13. So to be fair to Owen Mullally, one of the coaches with me, he put a lot of work into getting fixtures this year. We got Ballygunner and we got the usual then, O'Loughlin, Dixborough, Freshford, a lot of those guys, Athen Rye were down with us, there was a team from Dublin. So, you know, we've been going since March, so we're probably getting towards the end of the season, but the lads have had a great season this year. We're only back at training there this evening, and some of the lads think they're celebrities. The cup was in the Gaelscoil, or the cup was in the De La Salle on Monday. It's going to the Gaelscoil on Friday. So you talk about the Kilkenny homecomings, I have to say now. I think this cup is, the Glen Rovers cup is going to have a big homecoming for part. But it's great to promote hurling in the schools, and even for the younger ages, just to see, you know, what's out there. It's a big thing for it, and to be able to bring it into the two main schools in the parish, it's a big thing for, you know, if you're 5 or 7 or 9 and you're seeing these lads coming in with a cup, it just creates a bit of a buzz around the place.
My only question is, will there be a lettering my waddy out of the cup like some of the men do? Nick, finally, it sounds like it's an absolute thrill being involved with the team. Just from your own point of view, what's the journey been like mentoring those players over the past couple of months? And I get a feeling that, especially with underage hurling, you sort of notice maybe the individual improvements and the individual development of a player that bit more.
Well, that's the funny thing about it. It's, we're watching these guys since we were 6. It was actually Jimmy O'Brien introduced me to the, got me into the hurling, and Martin Phelan got me into the hurling in James Stevens. I'm originally a St. Patrick's Ballyragget man, so I would have been all for the country team against the town teams. But
you crossed the divide.
I crossed the divide anyway. Yeah, but the country into town, or they'll knock the country out of me. But no, to be fair, look, geez, having 8 coaches, and I said there's nearly 33 young lads in the group. Yeah, it's very enjoyable, and we do a bit of Gaelic football then for the winter just to keep the lads interested, and the numbers stay big on that as well. A bit harder to get games at the Gaelic football, but it's they're a great little group, and it's, you get out of them what you put into them, because this little group are just mad for hurling. They're mad to listen, they're mad to learn. A weaker guy at the start of the year, if he can even progress a small bit, even another 15 or 20%, like, that's a massive, massive thing. And when you're going into 11-a-side tournaments, like, eventually it could be 15 at under, when we get to under 13s. You need another 10 to 12 guys when you're going into a full panel for a full game. So you have to develop each of the players. There's no point in building a team around one guy or two guys. You need to bring them all along. And the more numbers you can bring up at the ages, the better the selection you have then at the, when it gets to the more serious business end.
Checking in on this week's fixtures, and beginning with the Under 15A Hurling Championship Shield semi-final, James Stevens welcomes St. Patrick's of Ballyragget to the Kells Road for a 10:30 throw-in. On the same day, our senior hurlers are back in action. They face O'Loughlin Gales in the St. Canice's Credit Union Senior Shield Final from 1 o'clock in UPMC Nolan Park. Turning to Sunday, and it's back to under 15 action. This time it's the B team. They take on Galmai Winegap in the Shield first round, and throwing on the Kells Road is at 10:30. While later that day, the JJ Cavanagh Sons Junior Hurling Championship returns. It's a Section B match involving the Village Men and Thomastown, with throw-in in Tom Walsh Park at 4 o'clock. And finally then, fast-forwarding to Saturday week, the 30th of September. The under-13 B hurlers are in Shield quarter-final action. They face Greg Namana on the Kells Road from 10:30. And then it's the big game of the weekend, the Minor Ryan A Hurling Final. James Stevens up against Dunamagan, and throw-in in UPMC Nolan Park is at 3 o'clock. Now it's time for part two of our conversation with the late and great Georgie Lahey. He sat down with Barry Enriquez in 2015.
Georgie, as you said, 'tis the love of the thing. 'Tis the love of the thing. You were County Development Officer.
Yeah.
Kilkenny.
Yeah.
You were County Board Delegate.
Leinster Council Delegate.
Leinster Council Delegate.
Chairman of Cushion Amon in Leinster.
Cushion Amon in Leinster. You've helped everyone that came knocking on your
door. Yeah, and that's the main thing. The lads were saying money. Money that never, ever, ever, ever came into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never. Never.
Yeah. It's that thing has turned around, Georgie.
Oh, it has. Big way. Yeah. I always say, Barry, whether you ever heard this before or not, that however a trainer is getting, they should be put down on the balance sheet at the general meeting. And everyone should know what that man is getting.
Yeah.
And if he's not ashamed what he's getting, they shouldn't be ashamed to have it on that.
But he's either ashamed of it or justified.
Yeah. There should be on, everyone should say, yeah, charging that he's getting £100 here, he's getting £200 every night, or he's getting £2 every night. People should know that. If some people are getting more and more, they all shouldn't be painted with a one brush, but everyone should know what a man is getting.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have to be ashamed.
There's enormous money in the GA, Georgie.
Yeah.
Presently.
Yeah.
Like in your time, they were talking, say, 100,000, 200,000.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
it's...
Yeah.
Millions.
Ah, it's gone, yeah. It is, yeah. Millions, yeah.
For the
yeah.
better, no?
Yeah. Well, I was talking to a man one time, and he had two sons hurling with Waterford, and he was talking about, a professional man, he's talking about it, and
talking.
I said, do you agree with all that money? He said, well, I don't, he said, but he said, if a county or a club thinks he's worth it, give it to him.
Yeah.
Now, that was the answer he had.
That's a fair statement.
That's a fair statement, yeah.
Yeah,
but then you have to be WINNERS at the end
of the
day.
That's correct. And you have to have it.
You have it, yeah.
There's no point in giving what you can't have, what you haven't got. You know, and run yourself into debt. Facilities have changed an awful lot, George, over the years.
They're absolutely marvellous.
To the credit of the GA, to be honest.
Yes, and the credit of the clubs. Yeah.
You're a fierce club man, Georgie.
Oh, yeah, club, yeah. Look, I go out to John Knox now, and a great time for John Knox. Look at the facilities they have now, it's absolutely super.
Yeah.
Going there to them dressing rooms and all that, like, you know.
Yeah, so tough and all that, yeah.
And still they have to try and do their best to keep it going.
Yeah.
You can't wave a magic wand.
No. The other thing I wanted to ask you, the question, you know, this perennial question about George, say, fellas that say, is hurling better today than it was in your time? And the lads of olden days don't want to say, no, it's not, because they feel that the present-day lads are jealous of them.
Yeah.
But like, you can't compare them, Georgie, but hurling in our time, I mean, you were in my time, hurling was a great game then, Georgie.
Well,
I know
the
old films don't do it justice,
but
you have to take into consideration equipment and weights and the amount of time that lads could give to training.
Yeah.
Not like now, they can go down to gyms now at 6 o'clock in the morning.
What
opinion would you have on that?
And lads can go to Carlton House for 2 or 3 days and do all this training. And I think...
You couldn't talk to P&T and say, look, I have to go to Carlton House?
Huh?
You couldn't have talked to P&T at the time.
Patron Tom, no.
Going to Carlton House.
I tell you one day,
there was no cars in the house.
Apparently one day I drove the lorry in off of the road and out in Three Castles and came into the park, and there were five or six men in the road and loaded cutters.
Yeah.
I mean, with Bill Brennan be out in Northern Park and brought him up to the village field and drove out again and be afraid of my life someone was up to getting hurt and there no transport to bring him.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Come home that evening and cut the field and go home and then come up that evening and train the team. But the question you asked me was about, I thought that the hurling is kind of judged on the matches.
Yes.
If you have a great match next Sunday week,
yeah.
Everyone has said, yes, that's great hurling, great, you know.
Yeah.
And if you have a bad match, you say, it's not as good as the matches that we had years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
So everyone has their own opinion. But I think the hurling years ago was a bit better.
Yeah.
It was a bit better.
You were very involved now with the 70s team.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
70s. That was a great outfit.
That was a great outfit, yeah. Yeah. Now, we should have won, probably should have. We won in 72 and we were beaten in 73 with the Karen, Jim Tracy and Kieran Person at hurling. And 74, 75, we won it. Like, bet the two teams that beat us, but we're no Limerick better in 73.
So, yeah.
And we met them home in 74. And then we bet our I remember Laz strolling around Crow Park in 75 because we'd beaten Galway so much. But they were all great hurlers.
Yeah.
They were super hurlers. But it's like everything. Everyone thinks at the present. They don't ever go back, kind of, and say, yeah.
But you see that people like you, George, with your vast experience, would have seen both.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, from a very close,
But,
and your opinion would be a valid opinion.
Yeah. Look, the hurling in the 70s was going great.
Yeah.
Here, like, you know, they were great, great hurlers in the 70s, like, you know.
Yeah.
Man, I was involved managing in 74 and 75 under 21, dog.
Yeah.
And would you believe, Barry, and we won both them be a pint.
Yeah.
We bet Waterford in Turles and we bet Cork in Dungarvan.
Yeah.
And when you win by a pint, you know, you can lose by a pint, like,
that's,
you know.
True. That is true.
You know,
yeah.
They were the Findlays and Dick O'Hare and Joe Hennessy and all them, they were all super hurlers.
Yeah.
My name was down.
And then, Joe, I'm putting it to you, Georgie, that they would have been super hurlers today.
Yes.
Too.
Oh, yeah. I remember, Barry, I ran a handball tournament, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, in Kieran's College for the under-16s, just for to have them doing something in the winter, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got down Joe Hennessy and he was marking the game. You know, Joe plays a bit of handball.
Sure, yeah.
And one of the young lads said to me, "Who's your man?
Who's your man?
You know, who's your man?" And I was Martin Hennessy myself. He said, "That's Joe Hennessy. He's a brother of Leo's." As I said, he won All Stars and County Fines and all around. The chap didn't know.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people don't remember, but the like of myself and yourself, you remember Joe Hennessy and all them hurling, like, you know. The Hendersons, they were all great men, like, you know.
Yeah. You put them second to nobody.
Yeah, Findlays gave off a service to the county.
Yeah.
Someone said this and that, but they gave great service to the county. The Hendersons.
Yeah.
You know, three brothers, like, and five brothers, and it's fierce, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could say that the Henderson were playing the challenge in Timahoe next week. That's all you have to say.
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah. There's rock great solid men.
Rock solid men, yeah. Rock solid men.
Do you like present day hurling?
I do, yeah, but I think it's overcoached a bit.
Overcoached?
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's very seldom you see, even the football, you see a lad getting the ball very seldom, 30 yards out and putting the door in the back. It's back to another lad, back to another lad, like, you know.
Yeah.
But we were using the word there a minute ago when I was telling about the car rod hitting the ball. You know, the vision now.
Vision.
That's one of the most important things. Not to just hit the ball to no one.
Yeah.
But if Pat Henderson or someone catch the ball, or if an Arkham to come out with them, there's a lad on their neck, you have to hit it somewhere.
Yeah.
But when you get loose, you see a lad running. You see, the Kenny teams now and the good teams, they're running before your man get the ball.
Yeah.
They're making, as they call it now, space.
Making space, they're making the target.
Yeah. You might be at the park, you might be broadcast, you see a beauty of a ball across to a lad and over the bar, yeah. That's awfully important.
Yeah. Is there a danger that maybe the club scene could suffer at the expense of the inter-county scene?
Well, they can. I mean, the fixture list of the boys has gone crazy at the moment. Like, you know, the Burn Cup and the Edinburgh Cup, they're trying to keep in Kilkenny money talking about, just keep the void filled when there's nothing else going on. But you have the people saying, now we're going to play matches in the end of the winter and we should have been playing them all in the summer. I personally think that there's too much of a break between inter-county matches in the county.
Five weeks preparation for an All-Ireland final.
Too long. I think it's too long.
Three weeks for a Leinster final.
Yeah. I mean, you could take Owen Arkin, went down to Cork and training with Kenny and he got the finger done.
Yeah.
You know, that can happen.
Yeah.
And you can play a club match and it might never happen, and it could play a club match and it might happen. But you just can't stop.
Those are the vagaries.
You just can't stop, Barry. You have to. Someone saying, "Yeah, we're going to play Ballygunner in a challenge, and we're going to play just to keep the team going."
Oh, yeah.
But you can't be competitive matches.
But it's not about one or two players in a club.
No,
because they're county players. It's about the whole team.
Yeah, the whole team, the whole setup, because the first thing you go in and someone say, "Oh, is Pat with Johnstone? Is Pat Henderson? Is he coming?" You know, the minute someone says, "Oh, he's here. He's coming." Yeah. The thing is lifted.
Yeah.
And someone said, "I know, he was training last night, Kenny, he's not coming." Yeah. Well, you're a downer then, because you're going out with your full team.
Sure.
And at the end of the championship, no one cares who you are. Or you say, "Oh, geez, Barry Henrich is working in the pub, he's not been working the whole week, but he's coming."
Yeah.
But people looking at Barry Henrich don't worry, don't care whether he was working the whole week, they're judging him as the same, and
they want him in the dressing room.
They want him in the dressing room, yeah.
The best hurlers you've seen, name me three of the best forwards you ever saw.
In where?
In Kilkenny.
DJ.
DJ.
And Kieran Henry, I suppose.
Kieran Henry, okay.
Yeah.
What about the three best defenders you ever saw in Kilkenny?
Well, before I go away from that, Jimmy Dyle was a great hurler.
Yeah.
Jimmy Dyle was a great hurler.
You saw Ring.
Yeah, I did. Jimmy Dye was a great hurler, and
how did he survive, George?
Who?
Jimmy Dye, that he wasn't killed.
Well, Barry, I never saw him hitting anyone in my life.
No. And a lot of lads tried to hit him.
They did, yeah. But then I suppose a lot of lads respected him as well as for his skill, I said that they respected him,
Beautiful hurler.
Yeah.
Unlike Ring was a great hurler, but he could mind himself.
Oh, he could mind himself, and you'd have to mind yourself when you'd be on him as well. You have to be on him, you mind him as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Should the Rackers were great defenders, now would
they? They were, yeah.
Jesus, they were. You know, could you live with them at the moment?
Could you?
That's right, we often saying, could you live with them? Come up and bring Benny and Bobby Racker and
Bobby and Willie, yeah.
Yeah, Willie, yeah. And could you live with them,
Yeah.
You go up the other end and they have
our own. What about your grandchildren? Well, hurling mad, are they greyhound mad?
Well, sure. One of the grandchildren was hurling with Dane's Fort last week with the Borough. So, and the two of them are hurling with Liz Downey, the Hickeys. And sure, I don't mind wants to keep hurling. And Barry, as I always said to young lads in the dressing room, we win matches and we lose matches, but we won't get into any trouble outside of hurling.
Yeah.
You have to look after young lads as well. Look after them as well.
And you have to protect them.
You have to protect them, yeah. Look, it's a, there's so much thing going on out there now, it's great to have them being on the field, And people say it's great to have them playing something else, which probably is.
Yeah.
But sure, when you're associated with one sport, that's what you're looking out for.
That's right, yeah.
If someone is interested in the rugby, they're looking out for
their lads.
Yeah, naturally enough.
Yeah.
And I wish
and it's great.
I wish we could have one game over, one court over, and then go to the next one. Not to have them crossing it or trying to give themselves to everyone.
Everyone.
And the way things are going now, everyone is playing maybe two or three sports.
Yeah.
But look,
as long as they're playing sport. Georgie, would you change any of it?
No.
Not a second.
No. The only thing is, I was never at home. Never. Yeah. Never at all.
You had a great wife.
Yeah, it was...
A great family.
Going to Bishop Monklin on the 21 one year, and was down in Monklin that morning and training, and we were playing, these were playing at 2:30 when we were at Downey, and I had to get in the car and do 150 mile an hour to go up in Monklin to...
Rat Downey,
yeah. Shocking things, yeah.
But you loved it.
I could tell the terrible things back.
Terrible things.
Yeah, but yeah. It's great, you know.
It's great to see you celebrate.
Before I go, the school thing was great as well.
Yeah, you enjoyed the school thing.
Oh, Jesus, when I used to go in and see all the hurling in the corner when you go in to lift your heart, and I go down there to TJ Reid and be on Ballyhane, and the next thing to come out and to be hurling, charging a match.
Yes, all the matches.
And I take on a match out of the box and say, here's that. No, Georgie, a hurling match. And I'd be there from 9:30 to 11 o'clock. And I put the cones in the car, I'd be going down to Mundavar. And believe it or not, the Ballyhale lads would be coming down who cuts the bread in their mouth. Going to hurl for the 10 minutes between 11 and 10 past 11.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
So you can see why they're...
They are what they are.
And that concludes this week's episode of the James Stevens Podcast. Don't forget to like and share wherever you do your podcast listening. And until next time, look after yourselves, look after each other, and we'll talk to you next week.